This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Let's stay on housing here for a second with a bit of a twist to a horror movie, Candyman, set in Chicago's Cabrini-Green housing project. Candyman came out this summer, a sequel to the 1992 original. It's a slasher film, to be clear, which means regular listeners to this program will know that I have not and will not see it. But it's getting a lot of praise, this movie is, for the commentary it offers on some systemic issues in this economy. Brenton Mock is a staff writer for Bloomberg CityLab, and he is among those praising the film. Brenton, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here. Thanks so much.
I think maybe the first thing we need to do is set the scene, literally the scene, and tell people what Cabrini-Green was in Chicago.
Cabrini-Green was one of the largest public housing projects in the United States. It is situated just beyond downtown Gold Coast, Chicago. I say it is because there still is a remnant of it that exists. At its peak, it housed nearly 15,000 people. And it was a site of much controversy throughout Chicago history and U.S. history in terms of it being this public housing experiment. All of those high rises I mentioned were razed, taken down, and were replaced with what you see there today, which is a bunch of luxury tower apartments, high-end retail stores, a movie theater. So that's the story of Cabrini-Green in a nutshell.
And it gets us to your piece about this film. And it is a film you write that has a lot of layers, right? There's racism, urban renewal, there's housing policy and police brutality. You, though, say that gentrification, and, you know, no spoiler alerts, even though I haven't seen this film, there are some people who will. You say that gentrification is the actual villain in this picture.
It sets the stage for the actual villain. I mean, the villain is a slasher whose name is Candyman. He has a hook for a hand. He's kind of he's the ghost of a former Cabrini-Green public housing resident. And so what this modern Candyman version does is it brings you back to that location now that most of that public housing has been cleared out. It's kind of haunted with the ghost of the people who used to live there, you know, who've been replaced by luxury housing and retail. It's definitely referenced as part of the terror, if you will, of not only, you know, why the current location is being haunted and by Cabrini-Green, but also the people who live there currently.
It's important to point out that this isn't a film about Cabrini-Green specifically, right? It's that broader thing that happens to black and minority neighborhoods all over this country in every part of the economy where they get cut off and left to die in a way.
I mean, the location and site for most of the movie is in the Cabrini-Green footprint, but it does serve as a symbol for kind of this the racial violence of what has happened to African-Americans in cities across the United States, where their homes and businesses were taken down either due to government neglect or because the government wanted to put a highway up and just so happened that the public housing projects were in the way. You know, we don't want to romanticize public housing projects like Cabrini-Green too much. It definitely had its problems. But this movie, it definitely summons the spirit of, you know, what I call not a haunted house, but a haunted housing policy. In which black people have been, you know, packed into these public housing projects and then, you know, disappeared and erased from there when the city and the federal government believed that the public housing projects had outlived its purpose.
Brenton Mock, he's a staff writer at Bloomberg CityLab, writing most recently about a film called Candyman. Brenton, thanks a lot. I appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks so much.